Hey guys, welcome back to the Far Better Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Clark, and today we're going to be talking in continuation of our study of the seven churches of Asia with the church at Philadelphia. This is a two-for-one day. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you again for those of you that knew about my condition last week and were praying for me. My doctors have given me what seems to be a good report. We've got a couple of weeks to see if that report is accurate. But I'm thankful to be able to be back out and about and doing the work that I'm privileged to do here at the Memphis School of Preaching and the Scattered Abroad Network. Today, as we talk about this church in Philadelphia, a church that is persevering, as we mentioned earlier today, now we're going to shift to an idea of not letting go of the crown. Revelation 3 and verse 11 says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Don't let go. Don't give up. Don't become discouraged. Keep holding on. Now, if you're my age, those three words, keep holding on, they kind of resonate with you because you grew up in the 2000s of being an angsty little teenager in 2006, and you heard a song by Avril Lavigne that is called Keep Holding On. And the lyrics of this song convey a mindset of, you're not alone, together we stand, I'll be by your side, you know, I'll take your hand. When it gets cold, it feels like the end, there's no place to go, I'm not going to give in. So keep holding on. And if you stay strong and knowing that we're here for you, we'll make it through. Now, those aren't the exact lyrics, forgive me, they're close. But this song was an anthem for a lot of people. In fact, it even became more popular later on in the 2000s when a show called Glee covered this song as an opportunity for these kids who are struggling to be able to sing this song as, we'll make it through together, we've got this, it's going to be okay. Well, long before Avril Lavigne, long before anybody else has used this specific song and used these particular lyrics, Jesus told a church in Philadelphia to keep holding on. Hold fast. Think about some passages here. If you look at Romans 13, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, putting on Christ, we do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Holding fast to that armor of light, fighting forward, pushing forward. 2 Peter 3 and verse 11, therefore, since all these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? How should you and I behave with everything that we know and all things the way that they're considered? We hold fast to the righteousness that is in front of us. We hold fast to the holiness that is set before us. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 says, test all things, hold fast what is good. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 3:6 and 4:14 say, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. What do we have? Well, we have this great high priest, Hebrews 4:14, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. This mentality of holding on, pressing forward, it needs to be said, and I know it's uncomfortable to talk about, but it needs to be said. Why would Jesus have to tell a church in Philadelphia who, as far as we've seen so far, does not have a strong, stern rebuke given toward them? They're not a congregation where Jesus says, I have something against you, you're not doing what's right. He's telling them, just don't give up. Why would they need to worry about that if a doctrine that has been very popular and very well received is accurate in the idea of once saved, always saved? You have to ask, and you have to think about it, because It doesn't make any sense that a crown could be lost if we're never going to lose our salvation. It's the same mentality, this idea of taking your crown, that we find even Paul talking about. I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the race. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. That's interesting. That's an interesting mentality. If you and I look at this mindset of a crown, it's this mentality of what we've been blessed to be given as righteous people. A crown of righteousness, we call it. If it can't be taken from me, if I can't lose it, why am I told to hold fast? Have you ever been walking on a pier or maybe up top over a railing that had an opening to it, and you were holding your phone, and maybe you started to notice you were being a little too careless with your phone? And so you kind of clutch up, right? And you hold on to that phone just a little bit tighter. Maybe you even say, you know what, I'm going to put it in my pocket. I'm going to put it in my side holster. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. Don't laugh, I said side holster. I do that. It's fine. It's natural. But maybe you take the 5 seconds to preserve something that you don't want to lose. And if you clutch up on it, holding tighter, you're understanding what Philadelphia was told to do. It's not once bought, always bought with your phone, is it? You can lose that. What about anything else in life? Even something more precious than a phone? How do you hold a child? You cradle that thing, don't you? You know, nobody had to teach me the exact right way to hold a baby, but when they handed me my son, it was this intense and immediate understanding. Hold fast. Don't let go. And even now that I have a 2-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old son at the time of me recording this, my 2-year-old, when I hold her, I still hold her with some great and expectation of care. I don't want her to fall out of my arms. But even when Adam runs up and jumps into my arm at 6 years old, I still try to do the same thing. I don't just drop him when it's time for him to get out of my arms. I try to set him down with care. And while I hold him, I don't want it to be possible for him to fall out of my possession. Hold fast. What happens if you drop that little baby? It's horrific to even think about, isn't it? What might happen if you drop the 2-year-old? It might not be the case that it results in death, but could it result in some pretty severe injuries? Absolutely. And even the 6-year-old, you can still hurt by dropping. So we all understand this mentality of holding fast to something that is precious. God says to the church of Philadelphia, Jesus is imploring and pleading with them, value this crown. And realize that it can be taken from you. Don't let go. This tells us that our crown is not exempt from being removed. What they were told to do was to hold fast to the name that they were given, to hold fast to the word that they had been following, to hold fast to patience, and to the opportunity for service and Jesus' promise of return. But with all that we know about these crowns, that we all possess one, those of us that are walking in the body of Christ, we're members of the Lord's church, we have a crown that can be lost. So let's talk about some ways that it can be lost. This is not an extensive overview. It's not a end-all, be-all list of everything the way that it is. It's just a fact that the crown could be lost in the first place by laziness. By just simply not doing the work. Not caring enough to take care of it. The crown could be lost in a second place by drifting doctrinally. Departing from what the truth teaches to something that the Bible calls a fable. Maybe it's letting thorns and thistles grow, like Jesus talked about with the parable of the sower. That the seed is the word of God, but sometimes that seed grows and it germinates and it gets choked. Maybe it's by discouragement. You were doing so well, but then that thing that you didn't want to happen happened, and now life is just falling apart. Maybe it's success. You once were a faithful child of God that stuck through and did everything the way that you knew that you could, only to become somebody of success and forget everything that you'd been given. Success goes hand in hand with the next one, which is maybe it was by entanglement into the world, being more concerned with what the world provides than what Christ has already provided. Maybe it's your family. I don't know how many times a dinner table discussion has shifted to, "You mean to tell me that my dad is lost? My husband who died is lost? My mother, my grandmother, my grandfather, my brother, my sister, my child, you mean to tell me they're lost? Well, then I guess I'll be lost too." That's letting go of the crown. That's right within your reach. I mean, think about Indiana Jones for just a second here. Can you imagine him doing all that he did, getting right to that moment, and instead of taking that bag of sand and trying to replace it to get that statue that he was looking that belongs in a museum, if he just said, "Well, I think I'll go home now." But how many people get so close to the prize? And because they know a difficulty is coming, they say, "I think I'll go home now." That's number 8. Simply, our own actions, ourselves, can keep us from what we're supposed to be as well. So what do we do? Well, we look at Revelation 3 and verse 12. "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." This idea of a pillar, an unmovable object, and writing upon him the name of my God, the city of my God, mine own new name. Think of the blessings that are given and granted to us from God, that far outweigh the blessings that we could get from Satan, from sin, from the world, from our ego, from anything else that promises some type of validation and vindication. In reality, all it is vanity. You and I have to realize that what we have been promised is far better than anything else that could ever be promised. And every congregation has to look at this advice and listen to it and follow it. Revelation 3:13, as we close out the text side of this before we move next week to text takeaways, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Don't overlook this. The whole Church of Christ system, if you will, is accountable to this fact. You see, back in this time, it was not uncommon for churches to be receiving letters and then circulating them to other congregations in the area. I mean, after all, they didn't have complete Word of God Bibles made at this time for them to just be able to say, "Hey, go and read John and you'll know what we need to know." No, they'd have to send John's letter around to other people. They'd have to send what Paul wrote. This is Jesus saying, this isn't me just talking to Philadelphia. This should be heard in the churches. All of my congregations should hear this. All of my people are accountable to this. Next week, we're going to close out the study with Philadelphia with some text takeaways. I am looking forward to doing that with you in just a few short days. Won't be a two for next week. We'll be back on schedule. But I just want to say one more time, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate that you listen to this podcast. I appreciate that it might provide some value to you. I know that I'm not somebody, and I don't profess to be, don't ever try to be. I just want to be a humble servant who preaches the truth. I hope that this episode has helped you. I hope that it's helped you grow closer to Christ, closer to Christ, and I hope that it has also helped you in your walk today as you go out into the world. Whatever you've been doing, I hope that this episode has helped you resolve to please God now so that our eternity can be far better.